Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 122 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. My name is Andrew White and I am with...
Kelvin Newman, that's my name.
Hello, Kelvin. It is a new questions and answers.
Yeah, we're in a bit of a Q&A marathon at the moment.
Stage two of the Q&A marathon.
Yeah, so answering the questions of you, the lovely, lovely listeners that you sent in to us. If you want to send a question in, dead simple to do, drop me an email. It's kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com.
I have in my hand three sheets of paper containing questions, and the first one is from Mr. Ivan Wainwright. He says, "Hi, Kelvin. I have a question which I hope you might be able to address in a future Q&A on your podcast. Is there a way in which I can find out what page in Google my site ranks for a specific keyword or phrase? For example, my site is www.itforcharities.co.uk, and if I search for fundraising software, then I appear on page one. But I search for, say, internet fundraising, then I don't appear in the first few pages. And so the only way I know of how to find out what page I am on would be to flick through all the pages until I find my site, and that could take a long, long time. I realise that, realistically, if you don't appear on the first few pages of Google's search for a specific keyword, then after a certain number of pages, it probably makes little difference where you appear in terms of getting good click-throughs. But it would be useful to know this information. So how can I see how well or if specific SEO stuff I am doing is working? Many thanks. And as ever, keep up the great work you do on the podcast. Still one of the very best. Ivan Wainwright." Thanks, Ivan.
No, kind words and the checks in the post. But no, yeah, common, easy issue to solve. So it's kind of, you want to keep a check on where you're ranking for the keywords that you're targeting in a search marketing campaign. Now, used to be a very common type of reporting that an SEO agency or freelancer would do. They provide you with a ranking report that shows you where they were. Now, almost no one who had any sense would ever go through and check hundreds of keywords hand by hand. If you've got a small number, like it sounds like Ivan's got, you got there, you know, you can do it fairly quickly by hand. But if you've got more, how are you going to go about doing that? Well, there's software out there that allows you to do that, that's built for that very purpose. Now, the kind of cheap and cheerful option is a Firefox plugin produced by Aaron Wall of SEObook.com. That's called Rank Checker. So if you Google Firefox Rank Checker, it's a little plugin and it pops open a window. You drop in the keywords, so like IT for charities or whatever it is that's the, you know, particular keyword that you're looking for, and select which search engines you want to find your position for, and it'll export an Excel spreadsheet for you. Dead simple, dead quick, doesn't cost anything. Now, there are some downsides to that. You have to keep your own spreadsheet somewhere. You have to remember to upload and, you know, to check once a month, and you have to kind of combine previous reports to see if there's any change. But it's a cheap and cheerful one and a quick tool to check, well recommended. Now, what we use at Site Visibility is actually a little bit more of a sophisticated all-round SEO tool called Raven Tools, and it's a suite of tools. I think we were probably the first UK agency to work with Raven on their tools. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, although this inevitably by saying it will curse it, that we've got an interview coming up with the creators of the tool in a couple of weeks' time.
Cool.
And basically what Raven is, it's an integrated suite of tools that does things like check your rank. You can use it to manage how many links you've got. You can use it to keep track of who you've contacted about link requests. It does some basic social media mention monitoring. It plugs into Google Analytics, so you can get SEO reports out of Google Analytics, and it ties them together. So this is what's really exciting about Raven. So you can see, okay, I've moved from position 2 to 1. What impact did that have on my traffic? And it ties all those bits together. So that's Raven. It's a little bit more involved and a little bit more expensive. It's not crazy. It's kind of, you know, tens of dollars a month rather than thousands of dollars a month. Mm. But yeah, well worth considering if you're taking an SEO campaign quite seriously, because if it saves you half an hour on your reporting every month, well worth it. There are other options, though, that are kind of standalone software packages. Two that I've used in the past, you know, they're not considered quite as exciting as tools like Raven and some of the more modern software as services ones, but they still do the trick, is Web Position Gold and Advanced Web Ranking. But I would always go with Raven or the Firefox plugin.
So Raven Tools is an online tool, is it, Kelvin?
Yeah, it's an online tool. You can set it up. You put your website in. It will tell you things about your site that you could improve from an SEO perspective in an automated way. So that's not as good as a proper SEO going through your site, but it's a good place to start. You can use it to keep track of what articles have been syndicated where and all these types of things, really. So it's, yeah, very powerful tool, and I will probably be going into it in a bit more detail when we speak to their founders in a couple of weeks' time, hopefully.
Okay, right, brilliant. Let's move on to the next question from Christopher Kuhn. I think I've pronounced your surname correctly, Christopher. Just email us at kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com.
No, there's a special email address for that. Andy can't read out people's names at theinternetmarketingpodcast.com. .org, sorry.
Hi, Kelvin. I've been a listener for a few months now, and you guys provide great commentary on internet marketing, or to internet marketing. You and Andy do a terrific job, and I look forward to listening to a podcast on my way to work. Enough with the flattery and on with the fattery. Number one, do you have an experience in using captures? http://www.capture.net in a web sign-up flow. We have a client who is interested in serving it up to only returning visitors, brackets, not sure if that is possible, brackets. If not, then everyone will receive a capture prior to sign-up. I've read reports that this can hurt your conversion rates. However, we'll drastically reduce spam bots from pinging the site. In addition, from using it, would you recommend using it on my client's lengthy sign-up landing page or have it be on the next page, brackets, a step two, brackets, in the process? Right, the second bit's crossed out, so I'll let
I answer that bit privately on that one. So, yeah, to answer the first part of that question, is a capture form... just to explain, if you've not heard of them before, they're that kind of, when you go to a page and you're submitting a form or doing a search and you have that weird gobbledygook bit of text that you have to fill in and decipher and try and work out what the hell it means, that's a capture. And there's different ones. So there's capture, the one that you talked about there. There's also one called like recapture, which is actually quite nice. It's a similar concept that uses pages from scanned books. If the optical character recognition didn't work and they couldn't work, the computer couldn't tell what the word was in this old book that they were scanning, they bung it into this system and then they get 5 or 6 people to write what it is. Once they all agree, they know that that's what the word is.
So which it does
is
quite, good for the community.
Yeah, it does good for the community. And the reason they came into existence was exactly as talked about there, to reduce spam, because it's something that a robot cannot do. And when you're kind of getting automated requests to your website, it can be a great way to reduce the number of, you know, false positives or the noise in the system of spam bots doing it. But there is no two ways about it. It does have an impact on your conversion rate or the likelihood of people to complete the form, because it is acting as a barrier. That's the whole purpose. It's a barrier to bots doing it, but it's also a barrier to users doing it as well. So, yeah, I'm not entirely sure about the logic of why you would serve the capture just to returning visitors. It should be possible, and you could do it based on a cookie. But to me, it makes more sense that you would show it for the person using the website or the tool the first time to see if they're human or not, because, you know, the assumption is that someone who visits a second, you know, a second time, it's more likely to be a real person there. So I'm not sure why there, but there's no two ways about it. Anything that's a barrier that makes it harder to convert is going to be, you know, going to have a negative impact on your conversion rate. Now, the question is the negative impact of that conversion implication worth the time saved on the spam, you know, the people submitting it who are time wasters or aren't real people? And that's the call you have to make ultimately on that side of things. Now, whether you put it page one or page two, it's sort of, you know, it's a bit sort of dancing around the issue. They still have to fill it in. If it's going to prevent people doing it, they're going to be doing it. So you can do some A-B testing. You know, you can try, you know, showing it. If you use something like Google Website Optimizer, you can try the two different versions and see what impact it has on, you know, submission rates. But then that's not really going to necessarily tell you how many, you know, it won't necessarily tell you how much time it saves you on not having to deal with the spam. But my gut instinct is to if you want as many conversions, as many purchases, as many positive actions that someone can take on your site as possible, it's all about trying to make it as easy as you possibly can. Captures, by their very nature, are designed to make it not easy. So you kind of have to take the rough with the smooth. If you're putting a capture in there, you're going to lose out on business as a consequence. But is that business you lose out on going to cost you more than the time it takes to deal with a spam?
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And ones, or the infrastructure cost of, you know, maybe getting loads more requests there. So that's where it gets tough. I actually sometimes prefer the ones that are like more of a, you know, you can get plugins that do this for WordPress where they say, are you a human? And the question is, what's 2+2?
Yeah, I've seen those.
And I think that's a good middle ground, because it's not really as difficult as a capture. Because the problem is with captures, I don't think I've ever got... Googles are the toughest. I don't think I've ever got a Google capture right first time. I think I've always had to do the second attempt. So that's kind of a good middle ground where it's kind of preventing the bots. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of captures, I'll be honest.
Capture, yes. Proof of using your loaf. Proof you are human. Let's go on to the last question in that case. This one is from Raymond Lawson.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Calvin. Your podcast is still by far the best of them all. Keep up the great work. I regularly buy a lot of domains relating to the translation industry with GoDaddy, as they have a good reputation in the domain parking field in the US, but never get round to monetizing them in any way. It just gives me a peace of mind knowing I have them, should I decide to launch a project on them at a later date. Recently, I've been thinking about monetizing them in some way, maybe by putting them on auction or filling with affiliate links. But I also may like to quickly knock up some content myself and link to my own site, brackets, a bit like how people use Squidoo lenses, etc., brackets. For this latter option, it would be beneficial if the servers are based in the UK rather than the US for targeting solely UK clients on google.co.uk, particularly for the .com top-level domain. Brackets. I often register domains based on local search terms, so it doesn't help having Birmingham, England mixed up with Birmingham, Alabama. Brackets. Therefore, it would be great if they also had the option of cheaply adding a monthly hosting service with MySQL and cPanel for knocking up some content in WordPress without going through the hassle of transferring the domain elsewhere. Is there anywhere you recommend that offers as much of the following as possible? Cheap.com and .co.uk domains, brackets, as I register a lot of domains, brackets. UK-based servers, reputable company, responsive chat support, easy domain parking services such as the affiliate-filled pages 123 Reg seems to offer, domain auctioning services like GoDaddy offer, and lastly but not least, should I decide to quickly knock up a simple site myself with MySQL and cPanel and a cheap monthly hosting fee, brackets, this rules fast hosts out of the equation, brackets. What do you think of 123 Reg maybe? Best wishes, Raymond Lawson. That's a good question.
Yeah,
for you.
Good in-depth question there. And there's lots of elements to it. So the first off, I would say that generally, I think if you own domains, you should try and get websites on them. Because park domains make very little money unless you own, like, you know, cars.com, you know, that type of, you know, you're not going to get any type in traffic. So the only way you're going to get traffic to those sites is via search engines or referrals. And the only way you're going to get them is if there's a website there. So in that case, I always recommend building a site, even if it is only a single page, trying to get it indexed and seeing if it's getting any traffic. If it's a competitive term, you're going to need more than that to get any traffic on it. But if you've paid the money, you've got it for the next 6 months, it's worth spending half an hour putting up a page to, you know, to contain some content on that site. I wouldn't necessarily recommend setting them up and then linking them all to your main site, because if it was that easy to get links, I'd just put, you know, buy tens of thousands of domains and point them all to our clients' websites. It doesn't work like that. But it can be worth them as a kind of like little website, their own self-contained. You maybe have some affiliate links there, maybe you've got some AdSense on the site, maybe you use it to generate a lead that goes to your main business, but they don't know that they've gone to the, you know, they kind of fill in it on, you know, website X, and you just get the lead and contact them from website Y and tell them. If it's around translation, you know, they kind of fill it in on one website and you contact them via the other, rather than making the links there, because you won't see any SEO benefit. Now, in terms of some of the hosting solutions, there's quite a lot of different things going on there. I don't like to recommend services that I haven't used. So I can only really talk about the kind of companies that I use personally and the ones that we use kind of professionally. Now, in terms of site visibility, we use a host called Memset, you know, who we get on quite well with. And we use FirstServe to as part of the mix there as well to register and do hosting as well. So they're two that we've used there. I've not used them a lot. We don't do a huge amount of hosting as a kind of organisation, but, you know, the technical members of my team seem to get on quite well with them. In terms of some of my more personal projects that I run, I use 123 Reg to register the domain names. They seem quite friendly. They're quite efficient. Though they do sometimes annoyingly auto-renew domain names when you don't want them to. So that's my main niggle with them. And their control panel is very unintuitive. But, you know, they're who I've gone with. They're who all my domains are with now. That's who I use. In terms of hosting, it's US-based. So it doesn't solve the problem about UK hosting. But I use a company called asmallorange.com. And I think it's one of the cheapest out there. Anytime I've had a problem with help, they've been really, really helpful. You know, they've been really, really efficient. It's cheap. You can pay, like, they've got all kinds of different payment options. So you can pay up front, you can pay monthly, you can pay quarterly, you can pay yearly. And, you know, I've never had a problem with downtime. Having said that, these aren't huge websites; they're not complicated. But you know, for cPanel and MySQL or MySQL, however you pronounce it, I can never remember. But you know, they do all that kind of thing. I run all my WordPress sites through them, so they're the ones I've got personal experiences with. I know Andy's probably got some insights on hosting, because with, particularly with the podcasting, that's kind of quite a big.
Yeah.
You know, deal, isn't it, to be dealing with the kind of, you know, what, 17,000-18,000 people listen to this show?
Yeah.
20-30 meg an episode, that's quite a lot of bandwidth before you start looking at any of the other shows that you're doing.
And
as well.
Well, there's two in terms of hosting, there's two companies I recommend. I also use an American company for hosting called DreamHost.
Okay,
now, the thing about DreamHost, there's a good thing about them and there's a not such good thing about them. The good thing about them was two good things. They're incredibly cheap.
Yeah.
You pay, I think I pay $9.95 a month for as many domains as I want.
Yep.
They sell domains, obviously not .co.uk domains, but org and com for $9.95 a year.
Yeah.
They have an incredibly brilliant control panel, one of the best I've seen. The downside is, because they're so cheap, expect them to be down for around about 3 hours a year.
Yeah.
Now, that actually is actually very good.
Yeah.
But there will be a point where your site will be down for a few hours once or twice a year.
Yeah.
You get what you pay for.
Mm.
That is a shared server.
Yeah.
But they do for slightly more money, you can have your own dedicated server. And in the UK, I use 1&1.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty good. I mean, I rent a server from them.
Yeah.
And I think it's about 60 quid a month, something like that.
Yeah,
And it's on 100 megabit pipe, and it's pretty good for hosting.
Mm. Yeah. So yeah, I think there's lots of different options there, really, for what you can do, and it'll depend. Now, in terms of the international stuff, I think it's not worth changing lightly your hosting or the people who are using your, you know, you're running your domains through, because there's all kinds of things that can go wrong in the migration process. So unless you're really unhappy with GoDaddy or 123 or the people that you're using there, I wouldn't necessarily recommend changing. But interesting question. And particularly, you know, we'll open this up on the... So if you listen to this in iTunes, you can always access the episodes on site visibility.co.uk/blog. So we'll leave the comments open there. So if anyone's got any suggestions on how they'd recommend dealing with this, do you know, leave a comment there and share that, because I'm interested to know. That's my experience, that's Andy's experience. Mm. I don't think any of them perfectly answer the question, but yeah, it's an interesting quandary to deal with there.
Well, I think we'll have to wrap it for that show, and that was a questions and answers episode. I have been Andy White,
and I almost certainly have been Calvin Newman,
and probably will be next time
I can't imagine being anyone else.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.